Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lord. We're here with joyful heart. Now today, I want to share with you a topic that we usually see every day. Like, what is our identity? We always face with the question, our ID would expire, our driver license would expire, and that's our identity. But what is a real identity other than a piece of card or paper? That's today's topic, is what is our identity? Before we start, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We today, brothers and sisters, gather here in your house to worship you. Your name will be glorified in this church here. And Lord, please send Holy Spirit among us and touch our hearts so we can share your love and learn your words. So then your words and your spirit be with us. We shall praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we've just read the scriptures of Ephesians. So if you have Bible, please open it because the scripture is a little longer. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. So today we talk about identity. One of the most important thing that we focus every day is actually regarding our identity. We always pay attention to our identity. Think about this. If you have been hacked by identity theft, what would that's catastrophic, right? Now today we're sensitive about our identity, right? It's a privacy. I mean, it's very important. But when we talk about identity, now that's what we have just discussed is personal. When you introducing yourself, hey, how are you? And I am such and such, right? That's our identity. And my name is such and such, and I'm from where, and why are we here? That's what you do when you introduce yourself. You introduce your identity to the next person and where you come from. There's a philosopher, Socrates. And when he Socrates was at the small island of Greek, and when he was looking at the ocean, and that's the three famous three questions: who am I, where I come from, and where am I going? That's the three critical questions for Socrates. And that's a big deal. That's a big three question in the scholars, between among the scholars, philosophy, philosopher scholars. Where we come from? And when you're being asked where you come from, so as you open Genesis, book of Genesis, then you learn where you come from. God created heaven and earth. So where we come from, we learn it from Book of Genesis that we are being created in God's image. So if we want to know who, what our identity is, we have to figure out where we come from. Because if you haven't figured out where you come from, then you very likely you don't know where you're going. There's a story from another philosopher. It's a German philosopher, Schleiermacher. Schleiermacher has created a big influence, impact on the philosophy academy. It's a short, a small incident with a Schleiermacher. So he was sitting in the on a bench in the park one time, and a policeman approached him. And asked him, "Who are you?" Because the policeman thought that he might be one of the drifters or homeless. The Schleiermacher replied sadly. He looked at the policeman and replied, sadly, "I wish I knew who I am." Now, it could be possible that he is really old, but no, you know that. We all know that. It's a philosophical response. He meant more than that of but I tell you what, even a lot of people are struggling with this question. Is we're struggling with who we are, is identity confusion. Not only we have identity confusion, but I look at our current society. I think we also have moral confusion. And there are people in there are a lot of people in the world that still are confused with their identity. I'm looking at this a survey conducted by www.pewresearch.org. They're according to the statistic, like 44% of the Christians approve same-sex marriage, and only 48% of Christians opposed to same-sex marriage. Only 48% disapprove same-sex marriage. So what's going on here? What went wrong here? So hopefully by reading some scriptures, learning some scriptures today, we can learn more. So before answering these questions, Let's take a look at what we usually say when someone introduces themselves. Do you know where you come from? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you should be in Christ? Let's look at what we're going to study today. Who are we? When you remember, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you think I am? That's how we learn who Jesus is. And by answering Jesus' question from Jesus, we know the thoughts in the disciples' mind. Now let's look at this. Let's learn who we are by studying these scriptures from Ephesians. Now, the church of Ephesians mostly composed of foreigners. Now remember back then when you have outsiders or foreigners, it's very clearly differentiated, unlike today's world, we're globalized now. And the church at Ephesus is mostly composed of foreigners. And Paul, at that time, Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, and when Paul was in prison, he knew that the church and Ephesians are facing some identity confusion. So, hence this letter from Paul to the church. So, let's read the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. That's a greeting. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, 2. And that's the greetings that talks about the greeting from Paul. Now, if you read it, you realize that Paul identifies himself as Paul, who was an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And he identified himself as the apostle of Jesus Christ. That he was sent by Jesus Christ. He did not identify him from ethnicity. He did not identify him as a position or his ethnicity or his profession. He did not say all that. He did not identify himself as a strong person or from physical. He identified himself as the apostle from Christ. That he served the Lord Jesus Christ. So at the beginning of this book, the letter, Paul identified himself as apostle and identified the believers in the church as sanctified people who were set apart from the world to witness the Lord and serve God. As you keep reading, you will recognize two words, grace and peace. Now, where Paul is God's representative, declares to them that God has given them two things, the grace and peace. So today, as we want to learn about our identity, and let's keep, and we should read, keep reading this. As you keep reading from verse 3 to verse 6, Paul keeps saying, Paul continues to say, Paul continued to say that we are the believers that are receiving Savior, salvation and spiritual blessing. And Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ." And the spiritual blessing in Christ is eternal. So on verse 3, we can read that for those who believe in Jesus, who have spiritual blessing from Jesus. And these spiritual blessings are from Lord above. And he also said that all glory goes to Jesus Christ. Now our praise Now today, we're here in church, sitting in the bench today in this church. We're here to glorify God's name. We're here to glorify Him, our Heavenly Father. As you can see here, as you can read from Bible, all the book, most book of Psalm, all the book and Psalm are all glorifying God's name and singing of His glory. If you continue to read verse 4, so verse 4 talks about the selection that at beginning of the world. So if when we talk about the before the creation of the world that we have been selected by God. So why would God pick us? And how did God select us? And I look at myself. Why did God select us before the beginning of the world? Because we were not born back then. The timing. Is very interesting because it says at beginning before the beginning of the word, right? So when you ask yourself who you are, So as you keep reading this first six, you now know that who you are, who we are. We are the selected people from God. So not only God has selected, chosen us, God also let us become his children. And we're being adopted to God's family. So being a child of God also means that we enjoy an affectionate relationship with God. If you go read the book of Genesis, you would know that we have sinned, but still God still loves us and still adopt us. That Jesus of sacrifice for us so that we could become God's children again. Adoption or adopted, we're being adopted by God. Now you, in the real world, if you want to adopt a child, you have to go through a lot of legal procedures. It's the same thing with God. We are adoption by God as his children. And ever since, and since God has adopted us, we can have close relationship with God. For example, and I have we have three grandsons. You know, I spend most of my weekends with my grandsons. And I love hanging around them. I love hanging around them because they are my grandson's children. And we, when we are adopted by God, God also like hanging out with us, and vice versa. We like hanging out with God. We, and if, so in Christ, there's a change in the identity. We're no longer sinners. We're children, children of God, people of kingdom of heaven. Any, all the identities that you have on earth will expire. Your passport, your ID, but your identity in heaven will not. Our identity is eternal in heaven. It's not because what we did, it's because of God's grace and His mercy. He chose us and it changed everything. Book of John said that because God loved us, God has given us His grace and His mercy. And Book of John, chapter 1, verse 12 says, to all who did receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. In Corinthians 2, chapter 17 says, chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. So God doesn't care your society position, your professions, your health, your physical. God just loves us. So in Christ, when we accept Christ into our heart, we have new life. And we keep saying our Bible study that this is a new life. Let's keep reading verse 7 to 12. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when times reach the fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been pristine according to the plan, to Him who works out everything in conformity with purpose of His will. And God look at us that He doesn't want to abandon us. When Jesus Christ became flesh among us, His only purpose is to save us. And we're very familiar with Jesus Christ. It's all grace from God. And because of Jesus Christ, that we could be saved. And we would become His children. He can save us, He forgives us. Remember, we are being redeemed. Not because of what we have done, it's because of grace, free. It's a free grace from God. And we are being saved by Jesus Christ in a heavy price. I'm quoting a sermon from Tony Evans. It's a small story, a short story. It's about a kid in a small town. He had a favorite model airplanes, so it took a lot of time and took a lot of effort to complete the masterpiece. He liked it very much, the airplanes. So he went out and for a test flight, and he happened and it was flying great. But suddenly, with a strong gust of wind, the model plane flew away and couldn't find it. So he was disappointed because he lost his most precious thing. Now one day, in the grocery store in town, he saw his airplane again in the store. That was his airplane that he lost. It looked exactly the same that he the one that he lost a couple of days ago. Now, the owner of the store told him that, hey, this is not yours, but if you want to take it back, you can pay the price. It's $14. The kid was shocked and he was sad because he didn't have that much money. Now he went home and counted all his coins, and took all his savings of, and finally he managed to scrape together $14. Went to the store and get his airplane back. But now he was even happier. He was so much happier from the first time he bought the model airplanes because he bought it back for a big, greater price now. So those of us who are in Christ, redeemed by the Lord Jesus with a great price, you and I are. Christ broke himself, bought us back from the forces of sin and evil. And from then on, we were set free in the Lord, where we were once sinner, and now sins are forgiven. Now we become child of God, a people in the kingdom of heaven. But today, we belong to the kingdom of heaven because we believe in Lord Jesus. Now we read up to this point, you're going to realize that as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, you belong to him and you belong to the kingdom of heaven. So in chapter 13, I mean verse 13 to 14, it continues to say that we are also including Christ when we heard the message of gospel about our salvation. If we believe, then we will be marked in him with a seal and
The pearl of spirit. Hello.
But so once we have been selected, we've been chosen. To simplify, when we're being selected, and now we have been marked by Christ. Nowadays, if you go to nowadays, once we those computers scan our face, it's already recognizing who we are, where do we live. And think about this, when we go to heaven, the Holy Spirit will scan us and they will know exactly who we are. And when we talk about faith, when we talk about faith and belief, when we say we believe in Christ, we confess to him as our Lord. For example, if I tell you it will rain today, would you believe it? And if God tells you it's going to rain today, you will believe it. That's faith. Because you believe on something that hasn't happened yet. That's faith. And faith includes not only believing, but also leaning on. So faith includes belief and humble. Have you seen a, I would not know if you have watched and the poker competition in ESPN on ESPN. So believe, when you say you believe in God, it's not just saying, but you have to put it in action. When you believe in God, you're no longer lost. You are now the children of God. I remember as I was little in back in China, we need tickets. For everything that we need to purchase for grocery, like a meal ticket. Now in front of God, we don't need any ticket. So can you, if you believe in God, can you do, can you now follow, can you now do whatever is on your mind and not follow the rules? No. So I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to read to you verse 13 to 15. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand it gives light to all the house. Verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So the function of salt is to be salty. And remember, salt is regulated by the government back then. The salt must be salty and important to be salty. So salt is the goal, the role of salt is to make the food tasty. And what's the function of the lamp? Is to illuminate. So, if the lamp does not shine anymore, it has lost its function. So, can you take a break as a lamp? No, because if you take a break as a lamp, you'll be replaced. I think one of the main problem right now in today's world is that the salt is no longer salty, and our lamps are no longer giving out lights. Now, because of science and because of technology. There's so many new things today on social media. In today's world, a lot of people are more inclusive. Inclusive. Just like salt, right? Salt start we get diluted when salt receives more water. So to it could be, would you think it's possible that we all were salt before? As a rationale is like the best soldier of Christ. Yeah, like the evil Satan is like a group of gorillas. So if the army of God is loose and bland, then even and not being salty, then it will pose no threat to Satan. So what does Jesus Christ tell us? So the scripture says people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light shine before others. Remember, we are salt. If salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. It's not, and being a salt is not like you do it as you wish or your will. No, you have to be consistent. You have to be light. There's no schedule. There's not a work schedule. It's 24/7. You have to be 24/7 a salt and 24/7 a lamp. Today, you have so many choices today. Today, but you have to make the right decision. If you're light, you're light. If you're salt, you've got to be salty. And a lot of Christians today are no longer salty, quote, quote. And it's blurry now. The line is blurry and it's confusing. Remember, you are the children of heaven, children of God. You are light. You are salt. That if you remember your identity, your action will speak for it. And your day-to-day life will speak for it. I remember a small incident, an incident in the last election. I saw a newspaper, I saw USA Today has a commercial on the paper. It says, if God, if Jesus was here today, who would Jesus vote for? Who would Jesus like, Republican or Democrats? And brothers and sisters, we are children of God. We are the salt and the light. Today's sermon tells us that we are no longer foreigners. We're no longer foreigners. We are children of God. Because today we're, I tell you, we are no longer foreigners. We are the children of God. And when God gave us this grace at no cost, and our identity with God is eternal. So if we want to find our identity, we must first know who is Jesus Christ. And once we know Jesus Christ, then we can reaffirm our identity in Christ. So through these scriptures, I go back to my original question. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are in Christ? I hope that you know the answer. And we sing the song Amazing Grace just now. I know we all love that song. In the song Amazing Grace, there's not that it talks about how we receive the grace from God, that we're lost and we're found by God, but it never talks about the price we pay because God's grace is free. And let's look at the lyrics again of Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The grace that taught my heart to fear, grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised me good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than we all first begun. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You have allowed us to read your words in Book of Ephesians and remind us that they remind us who we are. Our identity. You have given us everything from heaven, the blessing, the spiritual blessing, and such a big grace. And we're here to serve you. As we're approaching the end of the world, as we're approaching the world where we are getting farther and farther away from God, we clearly know who we are. Lord, please help us. Please give us strength. Please give us strength so that we could become your army and fight for you. Please let us be salt and light. In Jesus, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.